You never know when the Lord's going to deal with you about something. We just go about our lives trying to do what our day's plan is and ask the Lord to bless it and stuff. And I like golfing. And one day I was just going up to go golfing and just kind of just do my thing and got in there and was going to get my cart and everything. Well, at the time, I'd been wanting to get a certain club. And this club that I was wanting to get, well, they run, at least a quality one, would run well into the $300, $400 range. But anyway, that's just a side note. So I'm in the I'm in a little clubhouse there, and the little lady goes out there to get my car. And lo and behold, in front of me is a whole rack of these $400 or $500 golf clubs. And I picked one up, and I knew I could steal it. And God smit my heart right there. I dropped that club and ran out of that place and got in my golf cart, and I went into the third hole before I calmed down. I had verses going through my mind like a slot machine. And I was crying out to the Lord, why I was just going to golfing. What happened? And before man would have never known. Man would have never known. Oh, well, maybe the camera might have caught me or whatever. But I knew I had sinned against God, and I had asked God for forgiveness. I'd gotten forgiveness. But that incident really, really just showed me just you never know when the Lord's going to deal with you. And I hope, and I pray that God deals with you in such ways. I hope that your life is not so bland, so absent of His Spirit in your life that you never deal with the Lord in your life. Because you're living in the ground, or your head's in the ground if you are. God is sanctifying our lives for His glory. Everything that we don't like that happens in our life daily is designed by Him. There's nothing that happens in your life that is not by His order and His design. Even when we face such a thing, you know, and most of us live lives that don't have scandalous or these whatever you might want to call it, these experiences, whatever. But just take the little things. Every time you find yourself just smiting yourself against the Lord that you don't like, ask God to forgive you. Ask God to draw you back to Christ. Because the more those things happen, the more Satan uses those to draw our hearts away from Christ. I was rejoicing by the time I got home that God had dealt with me. You know. And maybe it was my pride that day. I don't know. It doesn't really matter, you know. But I was really thankful that God showed me that He looks at your heart. He examines your heart. You're just not out here to live for yourself. And you just didn't arrive on the scene today because your will got you up and it's just routine. How many of you here are here this morning because this is just what you do on Sunday as you go to church? Or did you get up today and say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day I get to meet with God's people and worship with Him because the rest of the week I'm busy doing the things that He has me to do, working or taking care of my family, raising my kids, or if you're retired, the things that you have to do in your retired life. I hope. I don't even use like the word church. We know actually church is just a word for a building. But I hope that you all have some sense of the assembly that when we come here, that it's not just a routine, the thing that you do in your schedule, but that you come in to meet with Christ and His people and the worship. John's doing a series on worship, and it is the time to lay everything down and be listening to what God has for us. We are worshipers of God. We are worshipers of God. Christians love their Lord, and they want to obey Him and keep His commandments. And His commandments are not grievous. And I hope this morning that I wouldn't have anyone to contend with me. Is not thou not shalt steal? Thou shalt not bear false witness? Thou shalt not kill? Is there anyone that can object to these? These are not awesome and just incredible laws. Our society has just
The last thing I heard in the news, I guess, was that I didn't even know because I haven't been up there, but that there's the Ten Commandments, I guess, at the state capitol and this big push to have them removed. And what I understand that the legal right of having them moved was actually formed by some older people who I thought were back then were maybe a little more, I don't know, disrespectful of religion, but I guess they're the ones who are able to get this removed. But I guess even our female mayor is trying to get some kind of petition together to have that marked off the book so that the Ten Commandments can remain up there, you know. But that just, to me, I just can't even understand that, to have the Ten Commandments up there and someone to want them to remove. Boy, just the wickedness of man. All right. You are sitting where you are sitting. Are you sitting where you're sitting because that's just what you do, or do you have some sense that God's sovereignty in your life is the reason why you're sitting where you're sitting this morning? Do you think it's just coincidence or chance, habit, whatever it may be? Why are you there? Why are you even here? How did your life so unfold that here it is in July 12th, 2015, that you're sitting in this pew in Muskogee, Oklahoma at this church building? The whole accumulation of God's doings in your whole life, you know, well, you can humanly explain it, but if you look at the spiritual nature of it, God is sovereign over your life. And for the children here, I hope and pray, and well, I hope you children and you wives know how much the men pray for your families in the prayer meeting, how they so desire and burden for the salvation of your children, how deeply that you need to know that. Sometimes they get into some good conversations, but by and large, they are praying for the hearts of these children. That is just incredible. This is a real, real blessing. You know, I don't think I've ever heard Hoot pray without praying that God would have mercy on the children in his church. Because if you don't come to Christ, you're going to be in hell. Do you not understand? There is only two places you will end up. Your birth was of God. Everything that about your life is of God. And your death will be of God. Man is so arrogant and deceived that he thinks himself too busy and too important to die until his own choosing. The arrogance of man to think that death is in his power. I was talking with John briefly here, and today, I know some of y'all read the paper, and today when you read it, read the obituaries. I hear that when you get old, that's the first thing the old people read. They want to know who's still around. Oh, but anyway. Nevertheless, you will die. Turn to Psalm 89:48. What man is he that liveth and shall not see death? Shall he deliver his soul from the hand of the grave? Selah. Do you think because you're only 15 or 7 that God may not call for your soul? I told John that you could step out there, slip, hit that step, your temple, hit that bar, and you're gone. That's how presumptuous we live today. We just think we're so invincible. That is the arrogance that I'm speaking of today, that the world so, I guess what I'm trying to say, blinds, how Satan uses the world to blind the mind of man. The many, many ways that people die. In Hebrews 9, let's turn over there, verse 20, chapter 9, verse 27. Everybody's familiar with it, but let's read it. In 9:27. And it isn't appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. If you really knew God was going to judge you when you die, would you not get your act together? If you really knew that, if you really believe that. God is not playing a game with your eternity. The world is. That's all the world is. That's just all that's going in the world. It's just games. Fun and games. One of the judgments I see in this country, I don't know, I'm not political at all these days at all, but I know about this ISIS stuff and stuff. Our society is so engulfed in entertainment and pleasure and just so bound in all this that it really doesn't know what to do with this terrorist group over here that keeps wanting to impose its religious or its political beliefs onto this culture or whatever. But it's happening. And it's making people really confused about what in the world is going out there. But the life is spiritual. And the devil is real. And he is cloaking himself as much as he can to deceive the people. And the people are falling right in line. Whenever... And I shamelessly say this, though. When I talk with people, I'm trying to figure out how to get to the Lord about them, you know. But I have to know, maybe I don't, I don't know. But I have to seem like I have to know a little about sports, and I have to know a little about this, and I have to know a little about that, and a little about this, just to be able to get on the page with them so I can talk with them. Because if you just come out and just say, hey, you know, you need Christ, well, you really come off as a loony. Excuse me. But you really don't. Because in their hearts and hearts, they know. They know there is a God. The scriptures have made this very, very, very clear. And I don't care what they do or what we do to close our ears, to close our eyes from it. God will judge. I said here that the world, Satan, even perhaps your own flesh, has deceived you to think you are in control of your life. The ruler of your fate, the determiner of your end. And if you're getting your cues from the world, it may be a lost cause. And what I mean by cues is how you're going to dress, what's the latest fashion, you know, what our attitude should be today, you know, what are our values, you know, what should we take interest in. You know, I don't know what you fill your life up with in the course of a week. Most of them are fulfilling your responsibilities, I'm sure. But just think about your idle time and what your mind goes to, what your interest goes to. And ask the Lord, you know, is this the direct, is this what I ought to be doing? Is this honoring to you? Excuse me. I can't speak enough with the passion from up here to tell you just the craziness that's going out there and the plea to you to guard your hearts in these days. Especially you men, because you have to be out there in the workforce. You cannot avoid all the things that are the craziness that's going out there in the world. Now, taking redemption as a whole, whether you end up as a trophy of God's marvelous grace or a vessel of His wrath, you will give God glory. God will receive glory. That is His great design, is to glorify Himself. Now, whether you do it in heaven or hell, I plead to you, come to Christ. It's not about you. Sorry to say that, but it's not about you. Now, maybe you got something to say out there thinking, well, I know that. But I'm asking you to look at your thought life. How much of it surrounds you? How much do you think about the Lord Jesus Christ? How much do you think about His Word and what's going on? Are your thoughts just consumed with you? That's what the devil wants you to think, that it's all about you. And that is why the devil fell, because it was supposed to be all about him, and if it wasn't going to be about him, well, then to hell. And that is exactly where he's at. Will you join him too? Because you're going to make it all about you? You say, no, I'm not doing that. I'm too busy carving out a great life. Really? A person's continual refusal or rejection indicates that God may be passing over you. What a sobering thought. Every time you reject Christ, you lay another layer of hardness upon your heart. Let's turn to Hebrews 3. Chapter 3, verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. He's talking to people who are supposed to be the people of God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. The deceitfulness of sin. Sin can deceive your heart. Beg and plead for God to break that stony heart of yours, to humble the pride that blinds you from Christ and keeps you in your deception. Look at those around you. Observe the world we live in. Myriads are just falling into a Christless eternity. Myriads and myriads. When I first came to Christ, it was really weird because I really thought I was kind of missing a lot, because it's like, wow, there's a lot of Christians in the world. Like, everybody was a Christian. And as I've been taught and grown and went through the things I've had to go through, I am actually convinced there are very few Christians in the world. Very, very few in relationship to the world's population. I missed something here. I beg and plead for you to care for your never-ending, never-dying soul. Your body is just going to age and perish. Yeah, we do well to be good stewards with it, and we ought to be. But that thing inside you called the soul, that's never going to die. That's never going to end. Yes, we will have to die our physical death because of sin. That's the penalty. And we will die. But oh, you do not want the second death. You do not want the second death. You know, when I was a chaplain, I probably talked to a good maybe a few thousand inmates. And they had done everything from things to be executed to serving maybe a minor sentence. But you know, now I know a lot of the public thinks that the prison system today is like a little penthouse or whatever. But you know, in all my talking, I talked with any inmate that ever said that what they did wrong was worth it to be in prison. Never met one. Do you know it's going to be the same in hell? There will not be one soul down there that says, you know what? I think it was worth it. No, do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. Because I'm telling you, these arrogant people out here, I don't know what they think our ideal hell is, but they don't sure seem to mind going there. Because Satan has so deluded their mind, and God will give them a rude awakening. While you're living, while you have breath, you can come to Christ. While you're living, while you have breath, you can repent. You can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, when it's over, it's over. And don't think, little children, that I have a whole life in front of me. Like I said again, you could be stricken with a disease. You don't know what God was going to do on your life. He has your number in eternity. You need to know that. You need to fear God. Yes, yes. Your parents love you to death. I don't know if I should say that right, but your parents dearly, dearly love you. So much so that they want you to come to Christ. And it's so easy to become jaded when you're in a church where folks are seeking the Lord. When you hear the Word of God preached constantly and regularly. It's so easy for your mind to not care anymore when you just see that you're always around moral people. You know, when you see sin being addressed. You know, it's easy to not care about where you're going to end up. You might even think, well, I have to be a Christian. I was raised in a Christian family. I go to a Christian church and blah, blah, blah. Without ever examining your own heart and where your heart stands before the Lord. And we talked about this the first hour. Do not be trusting in your own goodness. I don't see y'all sin. I hardly ever, I'm not saying you never do. I'm just saying that for the most part, you know, everyone, you know, pressing on, serving the Lord, you know. I don't see what sins you've got to deal with. But you do. And are you dealing with them? Or are you just saying, well, I'm under grace and God understands and I really don't need to address this or that? Coming to the cross, giving your life to Christ, it doesn't stop there. When you start walking the Christian life, that's when the warfare really begins. You young people, you're married now and you're having your children and you're working out the marriage, I guess you could say, and knowing how to communicate and learning to understand each other and where you're coming from. But can you actually tell me not that God is constantly dealing with your heart and dealing with your spouse and your kids? That's why the world out there that's godless has turned it's just crazy. I don't even know how to explain it. But it is wonderful when I'm in the home and I see the parents discipline the kids. You all don't realize that most people out there that have no inkling of Christ have no inkling of discipline. Their kids can never do wrong. They're just their precious little angel. It's everybody else that's messing them up. It's not the sin in their heart. So yes, it is wonderful to see the young people in this church wanting to raise their kids in the fear and admonition of the Lord. It really, really, really is, you know. And when I tell people about the church up here, they really don't believe me half the time. They really can't. They don't fathom that there's a group of people that believe that this is God's word and that by God's grace, if we had to die by it, we would. And I'm telling you, the time is coming where Christian men may face death because of this Bible. It's scary. It's a scary thought. I've asked myself that over and over. Lord, would I betray you in the face of persecution? The world portrays death as if circumstances are the determiner of when we give up the ghost. This is just absolutely absurd. They can neither explain nor reason this great destroyer death, so they concoct every conceivable imagination from the mind of man except the one that God has presented in his word. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's look what the Bible says about death. Now, I know some of you older people probably have, but I don't know about the younger people. Have you ever seen a dead body? Have your eyes ever fastened onto a lifeless corpse? You know, as a chaplain, I was in death row. I saw people take their last breath. Being in the medical profession, I've seen people on the gurney being hauled down to the mortuary. No, what's that? Starting verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Wow. If you're in Christ, death no longer has reign over you. You have to die because of Adam's sin. Yes, yes, yes. And we grieve when we lose loved ones. But death has no hold on the believer. And the Bible says that because of the fear of death, Satan keeps people in bondage, enslavement their whole lives. When you see out there and you're out the whole society and culture, you see no respect for death. Absolutely none. And furthermore, you see absolutely none of him who has the power over death, and that is Christ. Excuse me. I wanted to use this example that this man had shared one time, because I thought it was, for me, it was very, spoke lots to me. But I guess this man had been in a horrible car accident to the point of death, and he had to run to the emergency room, and he was up in his room, and the minister was fast to get there. The first thing he wanted to tell him was that God had nothing to do with this. If God had nothing to do with this, he's really in trouble. If life is just left out there to fate, we are all in an absolute mess. And I really believe that's why we're seeing a proliferation of strange ways that people die, because no one wants to think that God has anything to do with death. See, I can't believe it's been that long, but 9/11's been, 14 years ago or whatever. But the big thing back then, for those who remember it, is just that God had nothing to do with it. And I can never think that God had everything to do with it. It was so contrasting. I couldn't believe how many people just thinking God had nothing to do with 9/11. That is how far and strange the human mind is from God. The gods that they've made up in their mind can do absolutely nothing. Can't even save them from death. They can do nothing but wink at their sin. That's the gods that people serve today. Take the commandment, believe on Christ and live. Honor the word of God. Love the God you serve. Abhor sin in yourself. Do you know that the commandments are not only for our good and protection of thou shalt not steal and thou shalt not commit adultery? It is a reflection of who God is, of his absolute moral purity, perfection, and holiness. It is incredible that people would think the Ten Commandments have nothing to do with the way we live today. By far greater than the blessed fruits of obeying them, that is the Ten Commandments, it is a means to love and communion with God. Oh, friends, to be intimately acquainted with God is, as Spurgeon says, surpasses that of a love of the woman. I ask and beg and plead for you to examine your relationship with the Lord. Are you having communion, as John was saying in his series on worship, that is communion with God? Do you read your morning devotional because that's just what you do at whatever time you do it? Do you have family devotions just because you wouldn't want the other church to find out you may not be? I don't know. But these are means in which we can communion with God. I've been in most of the homes, and most have family worship, and it's very, very precious to see parents trying to communicate God to their children. Because God does love his people, he wants his people to be like them. First John chapter 3. And let's listen to the words here, these two little verses. 1 John chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. Beloved, epistle calls us beloved. Now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Wow. You know, ever since I came to Christ, I cannot get out of my mind. I will get to see God. You realize if you're in Christ, you will get to see God. If you're not in Christ, you'll see God too, but you won't want to see him that way. But you will say, oh God, you are right in all your judgments. You are right and holy to put me in hell. But those in heaven will just shake their heads and, oh Lord, I cannot believe your mercy. I cannot believe your grace. And every man that has this hope in him, what? Lives as they want to. Does whatever they want. No. They purify himself even as he is pure. Folks, we are living in a Christian time where there are a lot of people who say they know Christ, and it says, it to them, they say, it really doesn't matter what we do, just as long as we believe right. This is rampant. It is absolutely rampant. And I have to say, I am so sorry to hear so much of what's gone on with Christians in my life that I know are walking in the things of God, the doctrines of grace, and have just shoveled everything up. But they'll tell you, I still believe. I believe. But what's that key word they want today? Liberty, liberty. Judge me not. And it's funny because all you'll be doing is just sharing the Bible. Judge me not. Well, I'm not judging you. I'm just saying what the Scripture says. The Word's judging you. I'm just caring about your soul. When we are keeping God's commandments, we are loving God and we are loving our neighbors. We don't do it perfect. That's why we need the Lord Jesus to keep us in the love of God. We were made in His image. Genesis 1, chapter 27. This is real important to know that we were made in His image. We are not God. We are His creation. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let us have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creepy thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. And in the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. We bear his superscription. I don't know. I think it was Joshua asked once, just a question of, does God have a sense of humor? I don't know if that's exactly how you asked it, but I'll say that every time that we laugh, every time that we cry, every time that we reason, that we create something, or that we get mad and angry, or that we weep or have joy, we are bearing His superscription. Otherwise, we are just like the animals out there that He created for our dominion. Genesis 1:27, got the verse wrong, but you are a being, you are a living soul. God breathed into the nostril and man became, no, not an amoeba that would turn into a person later. No, he became a living soul. I don't think we even have the issue here in this church, and I'm glad we don't, but there's a lot of churches that are trying to reconcile this whole issue of creation. I really don't understand it. I don't know why they feel like that we are to walk by faith. I don't know why man thinks he has to have all this physical evidence or somehow or another. And they wouldn't anyway, even if they did. But it doesn't matter. The Bible says that God created the heavens and the earth in 7 days. It's really an issue. It doesn't matter if they want to go in and say, well, this thing's 15 billion years old. You know, God can touch this thing here and make it 15 billion years old. Who cares? He created it. And he commands us to bow to him as creator. And you, as his creation, his apex of his creation, the crown, is to bow to him. Do you not realize when you bow to God, you bring glory to God? You know, if someone told me, oh, is God an egomaniac? No, but we are. We want to take every little ins and bits. Folks, we do it in just talking to one another. We manipulate our words. We manipulate our sentences. We place them in a certain way so that we can feel good about ourselves, so that we can have others think well of us. You know, Paul says, just speak plain speech. Don't get into all that. You know, I mean, yes, you need to communicate with people who understand you, but you don't need to frame your words and your whole existence the way you present yourself so that people think that you're this wonderful person. You know, if God tells you you're a wonderful person, that should suffice. You don't need man to be telling you that. Unfortunately, enough people do not know God well enough or even know him at all to know that their security, their worth, their well-being, all the stuff that the psychologist and all this baloney out there tries to feed you about your worth. The Bible right here, if you'll study it, if you have studied it, you know what your worth is before the Lord. He created you. I am not going to be taller than 5'3". Just not going to be. I can either rejoice in what God has done, or I can sit there and pout. And I ask you to think the same questions about what you're at, about the things that you think you need to be a better person or to be a more fulfilled person, or whatever it may be. Now, some people have left the assembly. And for the most part, I guess the word is surprise, you know, because I'm thinking that, well, you know, these people know the Lord, you know, and they're just kind of going through something, and you pray that the Lord will work it out and he'll bring them back. You know, excuse me, but I cannot help but think that if something's happened within their thought, within their heart, that has somehow or another said to them that, hey, you know what? I think I'm just going to put God on the shelf here for a little bit. I got some things I need to get done. You know, I'm just not happy. I'm just not fulfilled. You know, I need to go do this, I need to go join this, I need to get involved in that, or whatever it may be. They've not found the real blessedness of just resting in Christ, the contentment that comes and the peace that comes with just resting in Christ. Our society so has got their fingers on everything that it's just constantly have people going after one thing or another. I remember the Lord dealing with me about that. You know, I sit there thinking, you know, because we had this, you're supposed to do this and supposed to do that. I want you to think about this for a minute. You're going to be doing this. You're going to be doing that. Today, you're going to, okay, today we're having church service. You're going to lay down. And what? What are you going to do next? What? You're going to go eat? Yeah, well, you're going to go eat. Okay, and then what are you going to do then? You're going to go home? Yeah, you're going to go home. You know, maybe do an activity. What are you going to do then? Oh, you're going to go to bed, you know. It's nothing but a ceaseless end of activities. Just think about it. You know, when we get into it and we're in it, you know, and we're doing this, we're doing that, and we're trying to get everything we can out of it. But just think about it. It's just nothing but a ceaseless end of activities. You know, next week, what are you going to do? Next week, week after that, all the way up to your grave. Wouldn't it be much better to be able to look back and say, boy, I tell you what, that line of activity I did, I'm real thankful because God, I live for God. I desire to give God glory and him that glory out of my life. Or you're going to look back and say, man, what a waste of time. What a bunch of time I have wasted on vanity. On the vanity of the creature. Think about your activities and your heart in those activities. Yes, we bear His image. Why do people, both the sinner and the saints, enjoy the beauty of creation? Or a good story? Or want justice when wrong? Because we're made in His image. Now, sadly, through the fall, man has done everything he can to destroy that image. I cannot think of a time I've been in Walmart and not seen this. There's some young person there just scarred with tattoos. Or some young woman just piercing whatever in any place they feel like to find them. You know, and it's just so sad, because these are the very people that will tell you that they love themselves. Oh, they love themselves. Well, if they so love themselves, why are they always altering their appearance? This has always been a baffling thing to me. The tattooing and the piercing. And today, you know, I follow sports some. Man, these athletes, to me, that's even bizarre, because they got a lot going for them, but they're just littered with all these tattoos. In fact, you can't even see their skin anymore. They've got so many tattoos all over them, you know? And I really believe that's a defiance toward God. I truly believe that the piercing and the tattooing is showing your defiance toward God. And yet it'll be like, you know, Jesus tattoo or a cross, you know? That's the irony. That's how deluded it is. Even the most wicked soul alive knows that without the commandments of God, life has absolutely no meaning or purpose. That's why the regenerate, out of this hatred for God, spends his entire life breaking them. He could care less, because if he can get rid of God, then no longer does he have to think his life is going to have to give an account. That all life is from the time they go from the cradle to the time they go to their casket, it's just all about them. And you men, I just want to encourage you, and I get caught up in too, you know, be careful about talking about these people. Sometimes we'll get talking about them, about this athlete or that musician or whatever out there, and we won't know an inkling about their morality. They could be the most godless person, but because they do this or this in the world, we think something of them. Be careful. Just turn back over to our verse, our text again. 1 John chapter 5. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. The true heart of the saint says as David, "Oh, how I love thy law. Oh, how I love thy law. Oh, how the Christian loves the Word of God. Has not God so blessed you with His Word? Have you not ever been so engaged in studying and reading, whether it's the Psalms or Epistle or whatever, and just not come away with just brokenness, that you don't know God even more? I'm beseeching you, don't just be out there wearing the Christian label, but be living the Christian life. His Spirit dwells within you." That was one of the things, at least, I got out of the whole golfing thing, was that God smit me. Oh, if He didn't love me, He would just let me take off of the golf club. I would have manipulated the whole thing or whatever. Folks, I'm just trying to tell you that in your fellowship and walking with the Lord, you know, Hoot and Jack, these men have lived life. They know. And they would tell you. Oh, I'm sure there's times that they wish they could tell you. Maybe for perhaps save the hardness of your heart, or knowing that you won't listen. I'm telling you, the Bible says you need to listen to the elders in the church. I'm not talking about the elder position, elder men. The men that have walked with God, men that have known God. They ain't old men. They have much more wisdom than you might think. And that's the sad thing about young men today. They know it all. They don't need anyone to tell them, especially some any old man, which I'm getting there myself. Respect your older men. You ladies, it says that the chore of the older ladies is to teach you piety, to be keepers of the home. Do you heed their words? Or do you have this, I got my own way about doing it. I got my own ideas about this. This is Christianity played out in your life. This is the unfolding of your faith. The things you do in your life, this is who you are. Don't have this idea that, I believe the truth, I believe the Bible, and okay, well, I'm just going to go do what I need to do today, do what I want to do today. No, stop. Think of every Sunday, and if you have other opportunities, when you come here, it is a time to be able to have communion with God and address your heart, examine your heart. That's why we meet regularly. There is no check mark of attendance. It's ridiculous. We know people have to be gone because of legitimate reasons. But if you're finding reasons not to be here, you need to ask whether or not you truly have a love for God's people. And the Bible says very clearly, if you don't love God's people, you don't love God. And we have an idea out there that we can love God and do away with his people. Rubbish. You can't put up with people who you can see. It says you can't certainly love God who you can't see. This rogue Christian idea is not in the Bible. Yes, there are some situations where people are in those strenuous situations, and God bless them and God have mercy on them. But when you have resources available and you are not taking advantage of it, you are sinning against God. Oh, that's legalism, Ron. No, it's not. It is your spirit coming out. You are manifesting who you are. You may hide it for a little while, but you will not hide it. And you're certainly not hiding it from God. You know the truth is preached here. John's given his life to preach the gospel. Sam has been called of God, bless his heart, because there aren't going to be a lot of people like that in the future. They're getting less and less. Take advantage, saint. Take advantage. Because it ain't going to be long until we try to rip this out of our hands. It's serious business. Don't go with the world and think all life is a bunch of fun and games. That's the times we live in. Sober. Be sober, men. Know what your calling is. Yes, we rejoice in the Lord. Yes, we have great times in Christ. Yes, we go out and we camp and we take in his glory. Don't be like those without the Spirit who only observe the beauty and majesty and splendor of God's creation with no regard for thought of the Creator. But rather be as David, who attributed all the superlatives of creation to God's handiwork. I cannot read the Psalms and not think of myself when I'm out there and just behold the people that have gone on, I'm going to step on my glasses. The people that have gone on vacation, most of them are gone out to like go camping or do this. And what they're going out to do is take in God's glory and majesty. It's so blessed. You know, a lot of you like going camping or hunting, you know, or fishing or whatever. I like golfing because it's so serene. The golf course is so serene. It's quiet. You know, everything's been mowed. It's just real nice. A lot of y'all like camping where it's rugged, you know, and hiking. And you know, I'm not like that. You know, I'm worried the bugs getting me and everything else or whatever, you know. But his creation, wow. Have you not ever been out there and just been overwhelmed at the beauty of God's creation? Oh, take it in. And the wicked, they share in it too. TV's littered with all these nature shows or whatever. You know? And God can give you the grace to stand the wicked commentary that's in them, you know? So be it. But the camera work and some of that stuff is just absolutely just amazing. Of God, what God has done to bless people, his creation. To remind you again, though, the great design of God is to give glory to Himself in you, and anyone that professes the name of Christ in his lips. Chief role is to bring Him glory. That is your calling as a Christian.